Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hey, this morning's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths."
The church say amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here. I can't think of a better place to be than to be here among those who are sanctified and those who are in Christ Jesus. We appreciate so much every opportunity we get to worship God. And we are always delighted to have any visitors that might be visiting with us. We are delighted to have you. You are always an honored guest. Appreciate you so much. Anything we can do to help and assist, we desire that you give us that opportunity. If you have any questions about anything you hear or about anything that you see practiced here, we would love to sit down with you and give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. We believe in the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's inspired word. And we believe that we ought to follow God's inspired word because it will lead us from here to eternity to be with God and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Redeemed of all ages if we would just follow that word as God has prescribed. Incidentally, we're talking about that this particular morning, continuing our series that we started on last week. We've been talking about taking the word of God with us. We are doing that because of the new year. And we wanted you to think about the word of God a little differently this year, to take the word of God with you this year and allow the word of God to do what it was intended to do, to do what the Bible says it will do. It will do certain things for you if you take it for the very purpose which it was intended. And that being that the word of God will perfect you this year. The Bible says it is good for perfection. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the word of God will perfect you this year. That's one of the things that it'll do. In other words, it will bring you to maturity. It will mature you in the faith if you take it with you and let it do what God says it will do. But that's not all it will do. The word of God is good for direction. If you will allow the word of God to do what it was intended to do in your life today, then the word of God, if you take it with you, will give you direction. It'll help you. It'll assist you. It will help you make the right decisions. It will help you go in the right direction. It will help you in the right paths this particular year. So we want you to take the word of God with you this year, not only for perfection, but the second one is for direction. So let me call your attention again to the scripture that you heard in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6. Then you notice that we have a few more that we'll get to as we move on in the upcoming weeks. It's good for correction, but it's also good for dissection as well. It'll dissect you if you allow it. It'll make you examine yourself. The word of God will examine yourself. The word of God can be like a mirror. Looking into that mirror can cast a reflection on you. So we'll talk about some of those things. But let's deal with direction. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And the next verse said, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now, the word of God is good for direction. Now, the fact that the Bible says it is good for it, it is advantageous for it, it is perfect for this. The word of God doing exactly what God intended is absolutely perfect for directing you throughout this life. And boy, what a good time to get started right now as we move and moving into a new year. Now, in order for the word of God to direct you, first thing you need to appreciate is you need to respect God's presence in your life. You need to respect his presence. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You need to consider him to be present in everything. Consider him to be present in all things. Now, last week we shared with you that when it comes to what you hear on the internet and what you see on Facebook and all the different outlets whereby the media can put things into our hearts and put things into our life to infiltrate our minds as if to give us doctrine, to indoctrinate us in the ways of the world, we said that you should check every particular thing that you hear by the word of God. So that the word of God is good for reproving things, for showing things for what they truly are. If it is error, the word of God will reveal it to you. Well, it's the same way with direction. The first thing you need to appreciate is that you need to respect God's presence in everything, especially those things that pertain to your life. Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you will take the word of God with you this year, it should be a constant reminder that God is with you. But you are going to have to, by faith, respect his presence in your life. Now, that sounds like it's easy, but yet many fail. You see, God cannot be pleased with one who has no confidence in him, who doubts the truth of his declaration and his promises. God cannot be pleased. God cannot be pleased with one unless we believe that what the Bible says he is, what the Bible has revealed about God, is exactly what we come to understand and believe about it. So when you're reading the Bible and the Bible tells you something about God, then, my friends, you need to believe it, because that's God telling you about himself. Question to you this morning is this. Do you know God? Do you know him? I don't mean the way you think you should know him. You know, sometimes everybody got a thought about God. Those who believe that God exists, we have certain thoughts about God. Sometimes you might have those thoughts about God because you've heard other people talk about God in a certain way. And so you have this belief of God, you have some kind of concept of God, or you have some kind of something wherein you think about God in a certain way because in some way you have heard these things or it's been manifested to you, or you can even go to the word of God and get a misunderstanding of who God is. There's a whole lot of folks that can pool their ignorance when it comes to who God is. But the way you truly come to know God is by looking in his revelation and letting God tell you who he is. Letting God tell you what he's all about. Letting God tell you who he is, what he's about, and what he decided to do in terms of humanity, and what he has done, what he will do yet in the future. You need to appreciate knowing God based on God revealing himself to you. And the best way to start with getting to know who God is an understanding and a reading of his revelation in the Old Testament. And so folk don't pick up that Old Testament, man, it's going to be very difficult for you to really, really understand and appreciate who God truly is. Because in the Old Testament, God is at the forefront and God is showing you who he is, Jehovah. He is revealing it to us as we look at those particular Old Testament saints and their lives and how things are going in and out of their lives and how things are manifesting themselves. But sometimes when you look at those Old Testament saints, you can get caught up on the wrong things. And what you should be doing, and every time you pick up God's word, is you should be trying to see what God is doing, who God is, what is God manifesting about himself in this particular situation. That helps me to know who he is. Then I don't have to worry about somebody else's understanding of God. I don't have my own understanding based on how God revealed himself. Let me show you what I mean. Look with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Paul said in reference to these things, he said those stories that you read in the Old Testament were there for a reason. He says in Romans 15 and verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So when I look back in those situations and I read about the Old Testament saints and I understand their lives and what they went through, the thing that really gives me hope is not so much them, but it's what God was doing with them. Because that, my friends, helped me. When I see them folks making all those mistakes, I need to know how God was dealing with those folks. When I see people who abandon God, I want to know what God thought about them abandoning him and how God dealt with them. When people were murmuring and complaining about God's people or about God himself, I need to know how God was dealing with those individuals, because it is something about that situation helped me to appreciate that we do the exact same stuff in this day and time. And in order for me to truly be helped, I need to have a real understanding and appreciation for who God is, so that it'll help me when I find myself in similar situations as the Old Testament saints. Now, let me show you something. Because sometimes we get in certain situations and then we start looking around and we start wondering about God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever questioned God? Not that you gave an audible question where you said, God, what are you doing? I'm just saying, have you ever doubted? Have you ever thought and wondered, based on what's going on in your life, what God is doing? And where is he? And why is this? And why is that? Well, a lot of folks do. But let me show you something. Look at Exodus chapter 3. And look, the children of Israel are suffering in Egyptian bondage. And the Lord, I just want you to know that even though they were suffering, the Lord was there. They were going through a horrific situation, but the Lord was there. And notice some things about it in Exodus chapter 3. Look at verses 7 through 9.
I have surely seen the affliction of my people.
Now notice this. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. He knew what they were going through. Read.
I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt.
He knew where they were. He was aware. He was cognizant of it. He knew what they was going through, and he also knew exactly where they were. Come on, read.
And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster.
He was listening. He knew what they were going through. He knew exactly where they were, and he was listening. Come on, read.
For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey.
That's enough. He knew how tough it was on them. He knew exactly how bad the situation had gotten. Now, let me ask you a question as you think about this. You see, here is the beauty of being in this time. Being in this time, we have a complete revelation. They didn't. We have a complete revelation. That means you and I have the ability to look back and see everything that God revealed. Now, when we look back, what do we say? We say that God knew what was going on with the children of Israel. God knew exactly where they were. God knew their sorrows and exactly how bad the situation had gotten. God understood and knew all those things. But do you think the children of Israel felt that way? So what helps me and you is to know that even though the children of Israel may have been struggling with the situation, God was aware and God knew and God was there. You see, even though they're going through all of this, God was still God. God was still on his throne. God was still in control. And my friends, God knew exactly what was going on with his people, and he was going to do something about it. Now, here's the thing. God knew that what they were going through was going to happen long before it happened. Look back at Genesis chapter 15, and then I want to help you to appreciate something. Go back to Genesis chapter 15, and look with me, if you will, to verse number 12, as God is having a conversation with Abraham. In Genesis 15, verse number 12, down through verse number 16, Brother Craig, read it for us aloud.
And when the sun was going down, uh-huh, sleep fell upon Abraham, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
Wait a minute, what is God talking about? Is he not talking about what he was just relating to Moses in Exodus chapter 3? Way back here in Genesis chapter 15 with Abraham? Now, by the time he's having this conversation with Moses, Abraham is long dead and off the scene. And he's telling Abraham, you just know this for a surety, that your people These people that's going to come from you are going to go into a land and they are going to be afflicted for 400 years. They're going to be a sojourner for 400 years and they are going to be in bondage to the Egyptians. Let me tell you something. By the time God is talking to Moses about going in to get them, and I know their sorrows, I heard their cries, I've been listening, and I know these are my people, and I know how tough the situation has gotten for them. I know exactly where they are. By the time God is saying this, God has long ago already decided what he was going to do in this situation. Do you think God could do that then and not do it now? You want direction from God this year, you better respect his presence. Because sometimes people want to question God when things are falling out in a situation where it's not exactly what they desire. They don't approve of this situation and these calamities and the way things are happening. They don't approve of it. And sometimes it makes them want to wonder what God is doing. I'm trying to show you what he's doing. He knew this was going to happen. Keep reading.
And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age.
Uh-huh.
But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Now, did you catch all of that? Did you catch all of that? Now, if you didn't catch all that, I'm going to help you catch it. Look what he said. Now, what you need to appreciate is that we can never stand shoulder to shoulder with God as if to know what is best for us, even when situations are adverse to us. See, what God is dealing with and what God is doing is something far greater than what we understand in our own little situation. So look at what God is saying. He's telling Abraham, this nation, this land where you are, your people are going to go into captivity and they're going to be afflicted for 400 years. But in the fourth generation, I'm going to bring your people out and I'm going to bring them back to this land. Wait a minute. I'm going to judge that nation that afflicts your people. When the time is right, I'm going to judge them. But wait a minute. There are some people that are now in the land, and I'm going to judge those people, but I can't judge them now because the cup of the Amorites are not yet full.
Yes, sir.
So they have not done enough evil just yet. They haven't filled their cup up with evil just yet for me to bring judgment. So wait a minute. When is God going to bring judgment? Precisely the same time when Israel comes out of Egyptian bondage, gets to Sinai, and then God is going to get ready to send them into the land where Abraham stands right now, and they're going to go in under Joshua, and they're going to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. What am I going to be doing? I'm going to be judging them. The cup of the Amorites is now full. And then Joshua is going to go in, they're going to conquer the whole land and destroy everybody in that land. Now, when does that happen? Well, that happens after Israel comes out of Egypt. So wait a minute. Now I understand why they got to go down there for 400 years. Because God is showing mercy to this nation so that he don't destroy them right away. But while I'm showing mercy, their cup is not yet full. Your people got to go down here in Egyptian bondage. And then I'm going to take care of that wicked nation that put them into captivity. But wait a minute, there's something else. The way I'm going to get your people into that nation is there's going to come a famine. Joseph is going to come on the scene, and Joseph is going to be telling about this famine that's coming. He's going to ride the second in command in Egypt, and then his father and his brothers are all going to come into Egypt. They're going to have so many people, but they're going to start to multiply. What is God doing? I'm building you a nation. I'm building you a nation in captivity. But when I build you a nation, the reason I've got to get your people over there, because in the loins of one of those boys is Jesus the Christ.
Yeah.
And I've got to get him to the cross.
And so when Jesus cannot be destroyed in that famine, Judas got to get in here in Egyptian bondage so that God can protect them. Let me tell you something. All I'm saying is this. You don't know what God is doing. You don't know what God is doing. This is bigger than you. And so the next time you decide you're going through your stuff, you don't know what God is doing, how many people it may impact, and what God is doing behind the scenes, because God knows better than us. Amen. Well, Israel was down there complaining. They were down there complaining. At one point in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 6, Moses goes in and talks to the children of Israel. They wouldn't listen to him. They were upset. And Moses, and then God tell Moses, go in there and talk to Pharaoh. He said, wait a minute, Israel won't even listen to me. I can't even get Israel to listen to me. Why? Israel's upset. Israel's angry. And then I'm going to go in here and I'm going to talk to Pharaoh? Well, let me tell you something. Through that captivity, God's going to teach his people at the same time. He's going to teach his people. He's going to rear people. He's going to destroy the people who brought his people as captives, and then he's going to take care of that nation out there, those Amorites, who have left all knowledge of God and going into all kinds of wickedness and sin. And so by the time Israel is ready and has been formed as a nation, and now they're out there and they got the law by God, now they're ready to go in and conquer the land, and now God is going to be judging those Amorites. He told Abraham this long before it happened. Let me tell you something. God was in control. You and I get the benefit of seeing the whole story. So we need to consider him to be aware of everything that is going on with us. Whatever you're going through, whatever your situation is, you need to respect God's presence. He knows what's going on with you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3, for the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Peter says something very similar in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12. He said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. My friend, God is the fountain of all that is good. He has made his intelligent creatures dependent upon himself. He requires them to be conscious of that dependence. He has promised to communicate to our needs, to our good. He commands us to believe in his promises and to look for fulfillment that can only come from him. And he commands and directs us in this, that we do it without fear, without doubt, and without distrust. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You want the Lord to direct you this year? Then, my friends, respect his presence. But not only that, receive his counsel. Receive his counsel. He says, and lean not to thine own understanding. Consider him to be aware of every little step you take, and don't take one step without his advice. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's a very important precept. The word lean is the Hebrew word sha'an, and it means to support oneself, to rely on. In other words, he's saying, do not support yourself this year with your own wisdom. Do not support yourself. Do not prop yourself up with your own understanding this year. Support yourself with the understanding that comes from the Word of God. Amen. Why? Why is that so important? You want God to direct your steps? Then here's what you need to appreciate. Things don't always turn out the way they should. Things don't always happen as you think. Sometimes everything is lined up to go a certain way, and then all of a sudden it gets derailed. That's why you can't afford to do this yourself. That's why you can't afford not to allow the Lord to direct your steps. Look at what the preacher wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The wise preacher, the wisest man on earth at that time, wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at what he said in verse number 11.
I returned.
And I saw under the sun. Remember we talked about that last week? I saw under the sun. That's why nobody dead coming back. That's why nobody that died before you watching over you and all that kind of stuff. They don't know nothing that's going on under this sun.
That's why you don't have to worry about no ghosts and all this kind of stuff. People trying to communicate to you from the dead and all that kind of stuff. The dead know nothing under this sun. Now, either you're going to believe the Bible or you're going to believe what folks have told you. And a host of other passages. When you die, you're not going to know what's going on up here. Under the sun, I saw. What I saw and what I observed when I returned and saw under the sun, what did he see? That the race.
I returned under the sun, that the race is not to the swift.
Race is not to the swift.
Nor the battle to the strong.
Nor the battle to the strong.
Neither yet bread to the wise. Nor riches to the men, to understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all.
He said the race is not always to the swift. The fastest don't always win the race. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 9:16, he said, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The battle is not always to the strong. You know what? Goliath lost to a little shepherd boy who had no training for war. 2 Samuel 17. Battle is not always to the strong. You know the Midianites that encamped against Israel during the time of Gideon, Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7. The Bible says they numbered as the sand of the seashore. Now let me ask you this. Can you count the grains of sand? So that's exaggerated language so we can appreciate just how many they had for multitude. All of these men of war, there were so many of them that the Bible says they were without number. And with all of their numbers, with all of their military, with all of their might, they lost the battle to 300 men who did not even have weapons of war. The battle is not always to the strong. But he says something else. Read.
But to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth.
But time and chance. This is exactly why you need God to direct you. This is exactly why you need to receive his counsel and lean not to your own understanding, because things don't always turn out the way you plan. Yes. Things don't always turn out the way you think they should. He says time and chance happens to them all. You know what? As we are living right now in this life, every one of us are living in what we call time and space. And while you're living in this time and space, you have an opportunity to do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. Some people call it finding my purpose. I'm just trying to find my, I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to find my purpose. I just want to know why I'm here. Well, when you find it, my friends, get busy. You are trying to do a particular thing and a particular work in this time and in this space. But while you're in time and space, there is incident. What may fall in while you are trying to accomplish a particular work as you live in time and space. Sometimes something comes in, some type of occurrence. The Hebrew word there is pegah, and that word is the word translated chance. And what it means is there is impact, there is incident. There is occurrence. So while you are living in this time and space, you are here for a time. You have space and time to do a particular work while you live in this life. But while you are living in this life, sometimes something comes in and you ought to brace for impact. Sometimes an occurrence happens, sometimes an incident happens that throws everything that you plan in confusion and gets you off course. Have you lived long enough to see it happen in your own life? Let me ask you this way. How many of you, when you were children, knew exactly what you wanted to do? How many of you planned some things out? And how did it work out for you? How many of you went to college for one thing, you come out, you're doing something else? You couldn't even get it right in 4 years. or 6 years or 8 years, however long you stayed in school. And even then, you say, oh, I'm going to be this and I'm going to do this. How many of you were going to be a doctor when you was a child? You knew you weren't going to be a doctor, but at least you said it. I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, and I'm going to be this. But you know what? Time and chance happens, and all of a sudden, you in a different way. How many of us who are preachers didn't know we were going to be preachers? While you living in this time and space, you make all of these plans. Sometimes everything is lining up just like it's supposed to. You're going in that direction, and then something comes in and boom, throws everything into chaos and confusion, and now you got to regroup. You got to recalibrate, and now you turn in a different direction. You get to go in that way, and boom, something else comes in. But no one's telling you to brace for impact. You know what the Bible is trying to get us to understand? You know there is a sovereign God. There is a sovereign God who overrules everything by his providence. And sometimes he's the one that's bringing the incidents in your life. You planned on going one way, and something throws you off. You see, God has told man, you weren't meant to direct your own steps. But you know what folk would tell you today? I got it. I don't need any help. I don't need anyone telling me what to do. I got this. Yeah, a whole lot of folk would tell you something like that. But let me tell you something, my friends. If you got this without God, you don't have it. You don't have it. You think you have it, but you don't have it. And it's not going to turn out to any good end. Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. That's what God wants us to know. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10, verse number 23. Let me show you a couple of quick examples. Look at Haggai chapter 1, verse number 6. Israel was told by God that they were not doing well. You couldn't have told Israel they weren't doing well. Just like you couldn't tell the church of Laodicea they weren't doing well when they told the Lord, oh, Lord, we rich. We don't have need of anything. We got it all going on. And the Lord said, you are not rich. You are poor. You are naked. You are blind. You are wretched. Revelation chapter 3. They thought they had it going on. The Lord said just the opposite. For the people who say, we got this. Haggai chapter 1, these folks have built their homes, they had their properties, they had their homes all built, everything was looking good for them, but the house of the Lord lie waste. They had built their homes and they were living in luxury and all this kind of stuff, but they had not built God's house, they had not built the temple. And God came in and said something. Notice what he said in verse number 6.
Yeah, so much. Uh-huh.
This is what's going to happen. Now, see, this is the incident I'm talking about. The Lord is about to cause an incident in their lives. They had it all planned out. They had it all figured out. But look what he says.
You sown much.
You sown much. You're going to bring in little.
You eat.
Uh-huh.
But you have not enough.
You eat and you don't have enough and you wonder why.
You drink.
Uh-huh.
But you're not filled with drink.
Drink, but you're not going to be filled. Come on.
You clothe you, but there is none warm.
Uh-huh. Oh, have mercy. One preacher said a long time ago, he said, man, one guy was telling me, just can't get ahead. I just can't get ahead. Seems like I can't ever get my financial house in order. Things just won't work out for me. And the preacher looked at him and said, you're not giving enough. He said, what? He said, you're not giving enough. What do you expect if you're going to be stingy to the Lord? That's what those folks were doing. They were stingy with the Lord, to the Lord. And the Lord says, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to put your money in a bag, and it's going to be like putting it with a bag with holes in it. It seems like every time you try to get ahead, you just can't get there. No matter what you do, your situation just don't improve. You might ought to check what you're doing with God when that is your situation. In Luke chapter 12, you have that rich ruler. And that rich ruler had a problem. What was his problem? The Bible says he was a man who was rich toward himself. He had prepared and he got himself all these things and all of this wealth. He says, you know what? The rich, the farmer brought land, brought forth plentifully. And he looked and he said thus with himself, oh, man, I have so much. I don't know what to do with all of my goods. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that is rich toward himself, that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. God says those people, those individuals, or those particular angels who are given the task of coming and taking your soul, he said they that require your soul are coming tonight. Now, let's see how you do when your soul is taken from you. And let's see who's going to get those things that you have provided, that you have stored up. You didn't help anybody with them. And now, my friends, an incident is coming. You better brace for impact. His soul was required that very night. And all of his plans went out of the window. My friends, standing without God is futile. Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, the one who thinks he stands all alone. For there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it? You need to accept God's counsel, because life is going to throw you some unexpected curveballs. We would say it like this. It's like taking two steps forward and taking three steps back. But whoever told you you had to do this alone? That's why you need God's direction, and you need to receive his counsel, because I don't know when the incident is going to occur. I don't know when I should brace for impact. But if I'm following the Lord and I'm receiving his counsel, I'm following his direction, my friends, I know he overrules with his providence and that things are going to be well. Finally, it won't take me long to tell you this. Recognize his pathway. He says, he will direct your paths. If you are not used to following God, my friends, let me tell you something. I don't want to make it seem like this is going to be easy. If you're not used to following God, there's some changes that has to take place. In other words, you're going to have to make some adjustments. If you're not used to following God, you're going to have to adjust your heart. You're going to have to adjust your attitude. You're going to have to adjust your mind. If you're not used to following God, you will have to amend your ways, the way you hear, the way you talk. You have to mend the way you walk. If you're not used to following God, you would have to change your motivations. You have to change your actions. You have to change your reactions. God has a way, and he will direct you in his way. But let me tell you something. It's going to be a way of holiness. So if you got any thoughts about anything else, go ahead and get rid of that. Because God says his way is a way of holiness, Isaiah 35, verse number 8. And a highway should be there and a way, and it should be called the way of holiness. If God is going to direct you, my friend, it's not going to be a bad way, but it's going to be a good way. Jeremiah says, stand ye in the ways and see it. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Jeremiah 6 and verse number 16. If God is going to, and walk therein, but they say we shall not walk therein. That's the problem. If you don't want to walk in the good way, my friend, this is not for you. But if you want God to direct you this year, just know it's going to be a good way. What do you mean, preacher? That means you're going to have to be good. You're going to have to do good. You're going to have to think good. And you're going to have to do good when other folks are doing bad towards you. It's not going to be easy. But if the Lord directs your walk, you're going to know exactly how to respond to people when they're acting crazy with you. Thank you. That means you're not going to do funny stuff when folks cut you off in traffic. That means you're not going to render evil for evil. That means you're not going to retaliate. It's a good way. And it's a narrow way. Not many folks want to live in this way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, Matthew 7:14, few there be that find it. When we're talking about this way, it is an excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's leading into chapter 13 when he gets into the chapter of love. Love is a more excellent way. When he directs you this year, my friends, He's going to direct you in an excellent way. That is a way where love is the motivation. It's a new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 20. He said, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, it's a new and a living way. It's a way that is all about Jesus the Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friends, let the word of God do what it was intended to do in your life this year by allowing it to direct you. It will perfect you and make you mature in spiritual matters. But it will direct you, my friends, but you're going to have to respect his presence. Don't you start questioning where God is and what he's doing when things don't go your way. But my friends, receive his counsel and brace for impact, because I tell you what, time and chance happens to us all. If you go in it alone, what are you going to do when that impact comes into your life? I tell you what, God is not. God is not a first aid kit. He's not a first aid kit. He's not something that you put in the closet. And then when the impact happens, all of a sudden we go pull God out and put a Band-Aid over my situation. No, that's not who God is. God is a God who wants to be your God, but he wants to always be with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to love you. He wants to be everything he can be to you, but you're going to have to let him, because he's not going to violate you by taking away your free moral agency. So Jesus would say it this way, come unto me. I've already come. He came down. He left heaven. Got off his throne. Robed himself in flesh, John 1 chapter 14. God himself, the eternal Logos that was with the Father in the beginning, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, having that conversation. He is the one that created and made all things, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 15. And that Jesus who came down here, John said it's eternal life, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1 through 3. That eternal life that was with the Father was manifest and made known unto us. That Jesus came down here because he loved you, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Gave himself for you that you might live. So then he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. If you're tired of sin, and if you're tired of being down, if you're tired of being dragged through the mud, if you're tired of life treating you bad and all this kind of stuff, if you're tired of trying to find yourself, don't know your purpose in life, just come to me. Amen. He said, and I'll give you rest from all of that stuff, all of that commotion that's in the world. I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and verse number 7. I'll give you that. And I'll give you something even greater than that. I'll go back and prepare a place and come back and get you. So that where I am, there you may be also, John chapter 14, 1 through 3. And I'll leave my peace with you. John chapter 14, verse number 10. Not like the world gives. Now that's Jesus. Amen. And he says, you come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I don't want to fool you into believing that it's not anything that's going to be required of you. It's going to be some things required of you. But I guarantee you, it's something you can bear. Amen. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And if you come, my friends, you'll have a home with him in heaven when this life is over. But you're going to have to come the way he desires. God sent his son down here, and you got to believe in him. John chapter 8. Verse number 21, 24, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and you don't believe that he is God, you don't believe that he's God's son, my friend, then you might well go ahead and cancel tomorrow, because when you die, my friends, it's over.
Amen.
And I don't mean you're going to be like Rover dead all over. No, no, you're going to be alive, and you're going to have a body prepared for you so you can burn in hell throughout all eternity, because you didn't believe in God for sending his son. Amen. You got to believe in him if you want a life with him in heaven, and you got to repent of your sins and send him to that cross. You got to confess him with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10, 9, 10, and you got to get baptized. The world don't tell you that, but we here to tell you that baptism is absolutely for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. It's going to add you to the church, Acts 2, verse number 47. With that blood that Jesus shed, he purchased the church, Acts 20, verse number 28. And he washes us from our sins, Revelation chapter 1, and verse number 5, so that he can put us into his body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. And verse number 27, now you are the members of the body of Christ. You are members in particular. He'll operate on you this very day. Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Wash away, and he'll cut away the old man, so that all things that were in your past
Now you can look forward to that which is new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. My question is, how much scripture do you need before you believe? Is that enough scripture? Or do y'all want to stay here another hour? Well, then you got enough to get out of your seat right now and come and obey God. We're going to be waiting for you right here as we stand and as we sing the invitation song. Come on to Jesus this morning.
Lord.